What's up, guys? It's your boy Rob here. Kind of came up with an idea for kind of a multi-part, you know, series, depending on how much I talk. Basically, I'm on a road trip right now, and I decided to press play on the Voice Memos app on my iPhone, so sorry if some of the audio is a little shaky. I'm literally, like I said, recording this on Voice Memos, and I'm just going to be talking, giving, you know, random thoughts, specifically on the Miami Dolphins, of course, my favorite team in the world, and, you know, my favorite football team in the world, and, yeah, just gonna throw out some random thoughts. Who knows if I ever even post this or upload it, you know, to the podcast feed. We shall see, but it's an idea I had this morning, so I was like, why not, you know? Why not just press play? Whatever comes to mind, I'll throw it out there. And of course, I know I haven't, you know, covered the Dolphins in a while, since our season ended in the first round of the playoffs against Kansas City a couple months ago already. That's crazy to think about, a couple months literally. But of course, this week too, there's been the start of free agency. Of course, there's been departures as expected. I expected multiple departures because really the only Dolphins insider, reporter, whatever you want to call him, that I trust, Big O. Make sure to check out his show, The Big O Show, on YouTube. He goes live every weekday, Monday through Friday, and then on the weekend, if there's like some sort of big news within not just the Dolphins, but any Miami sports team, he might like go live on YouTube. So make sure to, you know, check out Big O and follow him on social media at Big O Show. But so yeah, basically, I kind of, you know, towards the end of last season, Big O, you know, really talked about how Christian Wilkins was likely gone because the money he was asking for was, you know, out of the price range and what the Dolphins believed that he should be paid, or what they believed, or I don't know if it's what they thought he should be paid or what they're willing to pay. And so basically with Wilkins, I kind of found out in November from Big O. I mean, that's when, I'm sure he began to say it like prior to November, but there was some time there that I stopped watching him, not on purpose. It was just one of those things where I wasn't keeping up with him as much anymore. But I know in November, I started watching him again. Then November, December, January, February, all these months leading up to free agency, I expected, you know, Christian Wilkins to no longer be a member of the Miami Dolphins. And of course, that's the case, as he recently joined the Las Vegas Raiders on a big 4-year contract. But to compare that in terms of another guy who Big O was expecting the Dolphins to retain, who I was expecting, you know, the team to retain as well, and that is Andrew Van Ginkel. I was surprised that we weren't, you know, that we didn't retain him. He's one of my favorite football players in the league right now. He's one of those rare guys that comes once in a while, or once in a long time, that whatever you ask him to do, he's willing and able and open to do it, and he goes above and beyond each time, whether it was his times in special teams, his times in the middle, as a middle linebacker, as a pass rusher on the outside, dropping back in coverage as a linebacker. Andrew Van Ginkel did it all, and like I said, he goes above and beyond. Unfortunately, he's now one of the newest members of the Minnesota Vikings. He signed a 2-year deal to join Minnesota, which is pretty cool, like, for him personally, because his family is more in that part of the country. So that's good for, you know, Andrew, for Sam, his wife, and for their kids. They've made a huge, you know, impact of Van Ginkel family. Not just, you know, Andrew on the football field for the Dolphins, but as well as in, you know, Miami community. And yeah, they're a special family, and he's always going to be one of those guys that I'm always going to root for. He'll always be one of my favorite players in the league, and I'm happy for him, you know, that he got a multi-year deal. But of course, ideally speaking, it would have been amazing, you know, to see him continue his career and potentially, you know, spend the rest of his career in a Dolphins uniform. That would be incredible, but, you know, that's not what happened here, and, you know, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, I have full trust in Chris Greer, Reggie McKenzie, Marvin Allen, and the rest of the Miami Dolphins front office. I believe in what they're doing. I think their track record, whether it's through the draft, through free agency, the trade market over these last couple of years. I think they've proven they know what they're doing. And I think this free agency is a big testament to how great they've been able to draft all these guys leaving the Dolphins and teams giving them, you know, big multi-year contracts. Another guy, another, you know, recent draft pick that is no longer a Dolphin is Brandon Jones, the safety. I love him. I've always been a fan of his since he came into the league with the Fins out of Texas. He, like I said, I love him, but I understand the departure. I wasn't shocked because at the end of the day, last year, he began, of course, he came back from an injury, and he began the season as the backup to Deshaun Elliott, who had a great season with us. And then Brandon did start a couple games towards the end of the season because both Elliott and Javon Holland missed multiple games. And with that said, the games he started in, he very much produced. He had multiple interceptions, all that stuff. But, yeah, I just expected him to leave. The only way I saw him coming back, if it was like somehow, you know, there was no market for him, and then he just, you know, came back on kind of a one-year type of prove-it deal to, you know, raise his case or raise his market for next free agency, next offseason. But he ends up signing a three-year contract with the Denver Broncos, so another Dolphin draft pick. Those are just, yeah, I would say, you know, some of the main pieces that are gone. Of course, Xavien Howard, it's been a while already that we cut him, but I haven't, like I said to begin the podcast, I haven't talked about the Dolphins in so long that, yeah, I guess I'll talk a bit about it quickly. So the whole Xavien Howard, you know, him getting cut, I expected this because go back to Big O. Big O's been saying this for a while now, and the Dolphins, you know, were ready to cut X, and I totally agree with it. I'm thankful for, you know, the career he had here, one of the best, one of the best corners in Dolphins history, and I mean, one of my favorite players in the league by far. I absolutely loved watching him. I loved throwing up the X when he would make a big play. I loved being in the stadium, yeah, and throwing up the X. And just, you know, I'll always be grateful, you know, for his time in the Fins uniform. And I wish him the best going forward. But ultimately, you know, he's in his 30s now. But in the last 3 years, I would say, he's had some knee trouble. And yeah, I mean, he's in his 30s. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't be willing to commit a lot of money, you know. I would take him, let's say if he was willing to, oh, I'll come back on a one-year, you know, cheap deal. All right, that's like the only scenario, but I totally understand why the Dolphins decided to move on. Some other guys, of course, Robert Hunt. That was unexpected that he would leave. According to Big O, he thought the Dolphins would retain him. But ultimately, the Carolina Panthers gave Robert Hunt a deal that blew Miami. Miami's brass out of the water, as they gave Hunt a $100 million contract. You know, he's been a right guard the last couple of years, another draft pick of ours, and he's done a great job improving each and every year. And yeah, I'm thankful for his time in a Fins uniform. Like I said, I was shocked that he didn't re-sign with the Dolphins. But like I said, I understand why the Dolphins weren't willing to match that salary offer that the Panthers ultimately gave him. Because, yeah, I mean, for that money, to me, you got to be at least number one or number two at your position in the league. And don't get me wrong, Rob Hunt, he has the potential to get there one day, but unfortunately, he's not there right now. So I wouldn't be willing to commit all that money to him at the current time, you know. But I wish him all the best as well. Another guy to talk about, Jerome Baker. Longtime, you know, middle linebacker. Drafted him here. I believe he played, what, 7 or 8 years in a Dolphin uniform. It's crazy how time flies, you know. I'll forever be grateful for his time here as well. He was one of my favorite players, too, and a pretty cool story. And, you know, that adds on to, you know, the great memories with Jerome Baker and shows how fast time flies. And it's just insane to think about. I actually met Jerome right before his first preseason with the Dolphins. It was sometime in August. I met him in Aventura Mall here in Miami. Unknown. It's not there anymore, but it was a pretty cool store that actually LeBron James was a part owner of, I think, with a couple of his friends from Cleveland, maybe. But yeah, I met Jerome, like I said, right before his first preseason. And, you know, time's gone on, and he ended up being a hell of a player and a hell of a leader throughout multiple regimes. And, yeah, he was one of the, you know, good or one of the rare consistent pieces throughout his tenure with the Dolphins. So those are just a couple guys. Obviously, there's other guys that you lose, but those are a couple guys at the top of my head that I wanted to mention. Now to talk about some additions, as the Dolphins have had a really good, sneaky free agency so far. We picked up from Pace. You know, I'm a Pace alumni. We picked up a Pace boy, Anthony Walker Jr. He was a leader of arguably the best defense in the league last year. The Cleveland Browns came into the league with the Colts. I've followed his career, you know, every year because we're alumni of the same high school. His dad is was a dean of mine when I was at Pace in high school. And his dad's actually the head football coach now at Pace, so that's pretty cool. A shout out to the Walker family back, you know, Anthony's back home in Miami. He's going to be able to see his family more. His family's going to be able to go watch him more. And it's just an amazing story, you know, full circle story all around. A pretty cool story. Like, I shared a story, you know, about Jerome Baker. Pretty cool story. So the only time I've ever seen Anthony Walker Jr. in person, it was years ago. He was still in college at Northwestern. And I happened to go to Dolphins training camp one day. I got off my car. I'm walking, you know, to the training facility. This is when they're still in Davie at Nova University. I'm walking. I'm like, wow, that's Anthony Walker over there. And so how about that? All these years later, now he's a Dolphin. After he, you know, seeing him watch the Dolphins practice when he was in college, now he's here. It's just insane, right? Just to add on to that full circle story. But yeah, he could, you know, greatly step in place of the departed, you know, Jerome Baker, who I talked about a few minutes ago. And also another guy we added to that linebacker corps is Jordan Brooks. And I think, let me knock on something here, knock on wood, I think Jordan Brooks is going to end up being one of the steals of this whole free agency period. We signed him to a 3-year contract, and I believe for like 33 million, something like that. So that's another thing really quickly about Chris Greer, man. Throughout his time, the value of the contracts he does is absolutely incredible and unmatched in my opinion. But yeah, to get back to Jordan Brooks really quickly, he spent his young career so far with the Seahawks. Fortunately, he suffered an injury recently, kind of derailed his season last year. But I remember him specifically, you know, a couple years ago when he was in the draft out of Texas Tech. I remember he was projected, you know, to be a first-round pick, and ultimately, you know, he was a late first-round pick by Seattle. But I remember that year, I was hoping he would fall to the top of the second round and the Dolphins could snag him. But look, all these years later, we end up getting him, and let's go. I couldn't be more excited to have Jordan Brooks join the Dolphins. He's a linebacker that's rare because he's very speedy. He's agile. He can move side to side. He just has, like, multiple traits, you know, if that makes sense. Like, usually you find a linebacker that's, okay, this guy's, you know, he's really a hard hitter. This guy, okay, he's more, you know, he's fast. Oh, this guy, okay, he could cover tight ends, big tight ends. But I feel like Jordan Brooks is kind of one of those guys that's kind of you call him, like, a jack-of-all-trades, I guess. And, yeah, so that linebacker core got an absolutely, you know, massive upgrade. You think now of Anthony Walker and Jordan Brooks playing alongside David Long. That's just absolutely incredible. I love those additions there. Think of Jonnu Smith, the tight end we added in. Of course, he played for the Falcons last year. Jonnu Smith, like I said, he played for the Falcons last year. But he's mostly been with the Tennessee Titans. And he had a great couple years with the Titans. And those were the years where, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league. They made the AFC Championship with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, those guys, and A.J. Brown and everything, and Jonnu Smith, you know. He was arguably the weapon that Tannehill went to the most, you know, besides A.J. Brown. And, of course, he's an FIU guy. He went to FIU. I remember when the Titans drafted him out of FIU, and, yeah, he was a hell of a target and was used properly, you know, with Tennessee. And then, obviously, you know, Arthur Smith. Was his OC in Tennessee, and then last year Arthur Smith was the head coach of Atlanta and used Jonnu properly. So I'm hoping that ultimately with all these signings, at the end of the day, as excited as I could be, or you know, all the value I see in these contracts, and I'm happy to have all these, you know, players join the team. At the end of the day, a lot of it goes back to coaching, right? Because at the end of the day, I feel a lot of times that our front office, as great as the job as they've done, many of their signings have kind of gone wasted. Not just signings, draft picks also, because I think of my guy, my favorite tight end in the league, favorite tight end of all time, Mike Gesicki. He was used so improperly during Mike McDaniel's first year here, and we just gave up on him. So, yeah, I'm just hoping that Mike McDaniel proves to us that he could actually coach and that he understands that he can't just focus on using one offensive weapon in his game plan. So, yeah, I'm super excited, though, you know, to have Jonnu Smith join the team. I think him next to Durham Smythe and young Julian Hill, I think that'll be a nice underrated tight end trio. Jonnu Smith, a couple things about what he brings on the field. He's great in the run blocking game, and then he's an incredible red zone target threat, you know, red zone threat, because he's so big. He's a mismatch nightmare, and like I said, he's such a great blocker as well that you could kind of design some plays where you disguise him as a blocker because he's so good at it, and then you end up fooling the defense and he ends up being wide open in the end zone. I could see a couple touchdowns coming his way this coming season, so I'm happy to have him join the team as well. Then you think of Jordan Poyer, the longtime Buffalo Bills safety, who's had a hell of a career over there, been one of the leaders, you know. Obviously, Buffalo, they've never, you know, ultimately gotten that final prize of, you know, winning the Super Bowl. But, I mean, in recent memory, they've been one of the most consistent franchises in the NFL, and Jordan Poyer's been a big part of that. So I'm super happy to have him, especially on a one-year deal. He leaves a division rival, comes to us, and he says he's coming home. I actually found out around a year ago that him and his family live here in the offseason, and I found it interesting. But yeah, look, he's home now, and I can't wait to see him playing alongside Javon Holland. That's going to be a lot of fun for sure. We added a key special teamer and Neil, from another Bills player, Mr. Neil. I'm having a brain fart right now, and since I'm driving, I can't remember his first name, so obviously I'm driving. I can't look it up right now, but I'll call him Mr. Neil, the special teamer from Buffalo. Super excited to have him, especially with how bad our special teams has been throughout the first 2 years of the McDaniel era. And it's still shocking to me that special teams coach Danny Crossman will be on board for his third season. I don't know how McDaniel has kept him around, because special teams has been one of the worst groups in all of football. At the end of the day, and I think the Super Bowl is a great example of this, with the Kansas City Chiefs, you need to be great in all units, not just in defense and offense, but also that third unit, which is special teams, of course. So I'm hoping that Mr. Neal could provide some sort of spark or unity or leadership, you know, for that special teams unit to get better. Some other guys to talk about: Aaron Brewer, he was the center for the Tennessee Titans, Nashville. But yeah, Aaron Brewer, he's coming in, you know, on a 3-year contract, I believe, and it's a good value contract as well. He's one of those nasty, you know, tough centers. What I love about him is that tough and nasty centers are kind of hard to come by. I'm not saying that centers aren't tough. Obviously, they are. You're playing in the NFL and all that, of course. But, like, what I mean tough and nasty is that he's not afraid, you know. He's not afraid to play extra hard. He's not afraid to push around. And I absolutely love that, actually. And he gives me, you know, kind of, I'm not saying he's this, I'm not comparing him to this player, but I guess his style of play as a center reminds me of the style of play of Jason Kelce, who, of course, recently retired and ended his career as arguably, you know, one of the greatest centers in NFL history. But Jason Kelce, he wasn't the biggest guy, strongest guy, but he was the you know, toughest, nastiest, like, ready to go, never back down, always fighting, always doing whatever he could to help his team win. So I'm excited to have Aaron Brewer, you know, come from Nashville to Miami and join the Dolphins. And just to keep in mind, Connor Williams, who's been our starting center the last couple of years. Just to keep, you know, Dolphin fans and everyone in mind, right? Signing Brewer does not mean that we're not going to sign Connor Williams. The thing with Connor Williams right now, he's still recovering from that season-ending injury he had at the beginning of last year. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to get to a point that teams are going to be scared to offer Williams a contract. And I think ultimately he'll return on either, you know, a cheap, like, 1 or 2 year deal with the Dolphins. And the good thing is here, like, in terms of versatility, Williams is a guard, right? With the Cowboys. Then he joins Miami. We convert him to a center. Then Brewer, he ended his Titans career as a center, but previous to that, he was actually a guard. So just to keep that in mind, don't be shocked if eventually we re-sign Connor Williams as well. But with that said, I'm trying to remember. Kind of having a brain fart here. Oh, we actually signed someone. It was a rumor yesterday, and it became official today. Neville Gilmore, the defensive tackle from the Cowboys. He's a good veteran, you know, DT, and obviously, you know, it'll be smart for us to get, you know, a couple vet DTs, because like I talked about, Christian Wilkins being gone, but also Raekwon Davis, who was the starting nose tackle for the team the last couple years, he's gone as well. He signed with Indianapolis, so yeah, so Neville, you know, comes in from the Cowboys, like I said, a good veteran, signed him to like a 1 year, $1.7 million contract, so another great value deal, and he's going to be one of those veterans with an extra chip on his shoulder, because kind of a 1 year prove it type of deal, and also he's going to have a massive opportunity to actually, you know, find a home permanently in Miami if he's able to up his game and play on a consistent level, you know, with the departures, like I said, of Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis, and hopefully, you know, for Gilmore playing next to Zach Sealer, I think that should help him as well. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I might be missing some other signings, but like I keep saying, like, I'm driving, so obviously I'm not going to remember everything that's gone on. But those are a couple things I wanted to mention, you know, with some of the departures, some of the additions. Now, before I wrap it up, I think I want to kind of, oh no, I already covered the coaching aspect, you know, when I was talking about how ultimately it's going to be up to McDaniel if he changes his coaching ways, if he's not hard-headed, to see how these signings ultimately flourish at the end of the day. And with that said, now we're a month away, we're a couple weeks away, actually, from the draft. So we have our a first-round pick for the first time in a long time. We're going to have some compensatory picks, but the losses of, I think, Wilkins, of Hunt, Van Ginkel maybe, so we're going to add some more assets for Greer and Chris Greer and Co. to work with. So it's definitely exciting, and I've definitely been happy. Oh, another guy, a couple of guys we re-signed. I'm glad I remember this. So Savan Ahmed, the running back, and he's just gotten better every year. Fortunately, last year, he was doing really good, but then he had a season-ending injury, but he's back on a one-year deal. Nick Needham, the corner, he's been here a couple years, and last year wasn't his best year, but, I mean, he was coming back from a torn ACL, and also he was in a defensive system with Fangio that he had never really played in before, so he was kind of playing out of place, so hopefully Anthony Weaver is able to, you know, make him fit better, because we've seen what Needham's done when he's healthy, and he's a hell of a corner. Another guy is Elijah Riley. Was another defensive back, but his main specialty is special teams. He does a great job there. We brought him back on a one-year deal as well. So yeah, I'm glad I remember those couple guys. Like I said, if I forgot anyone, I'm sorry. But like, yeah, since I'm driving and stuff, it's like it's hard for me to remember every single thing that's gone on, you know. But I think I've done pretty good with all the information and opinions that I put out there, and it's exciting, you know, to talk about the Dolphins again. And once again, just a reminder, like, it was, yeah, the audio's shaky. You know why? It's because I'm driving, and like I said in the beginning of the recording, I'm recording this on voice memo. So yeah, but I think that's gonna wrap it up, guys. If anything on this drive, if I think of any more things to talk about, I'll click record again and talk some more. But I think that kind of covers, you know, what I wanted to, you know, kind of put out there in terms of the Miami Dolphins specifically. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed, you know, hearing my thoughts on everything that's gone on here. And yeah, if you guys have any opinions or any different thoughts you want to let me know about, you know where to reach me. You could DM me on our Instagram at @theflame_ES, or on my personal Instagram, Rob Gao, R-O-B-C-A-O. You could email me at tfesrob@gmail.com, and yeah, give me your thoughts, whatever it is. Or also, I'd appreciate, yeah, if you guys could follow us on those social media platforms, you know, on Instagram, like I said, @theflame_ES, and at Rob Gao, R-O-B-C-A-O. Oh, another thing, actually, before I wrap up, remember we're a part of Team SeatGeek. And, of course, SeatGeek is one of the best ticketing apps out there. And with our code ROBCAO, R-O-B-C-A-O, you'll receive $20 off your first ticket purchase. And you could use that code whether it's on the SeatGeek app or on SeatGeek.com. And once again, that's RobCao, RobCao. Use that code for $20 off your first ticket purchase on SeatGeek app or SeatGeek.com. And like I always say, my favorite thing about SeatGeek is that each deal is rated on a scale from 0 to 10. So they really do their part in terms of helping you find the best deal possible and helping you find the best value for possible. I think actually maybe Chris Greer has some sort of, you know, say in how SeatGeek does their things, because he's doing a pretty great job with the value he finds in these contracts. So I think that's a perfect ending right there. So with all that said, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, everyone, take care.